Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 19. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So we had a very full week, weekend and into the week. We had some fun this weekend, didn't we, Action?
Oh, yeah. It was mostly enjoyable, except for the Friday afternoon debacle that was the Music City Bowl. The Purdue Boilermakers got destroyed. It was 56-7 at halftime.
Oh, that was rough.
Thankfully, I was able to have a few cocktails during that time, so it washed away all my sorrows.
Ease the pain. We got together a little mini watch party at Flagship on Sunday to watch the kind of the playoff implication games, including the Bears knocking out the Vikings on Sunday.
Yeah, it was wild time at Flagship. I had never been there for a Sunday NFL game day, and it was just packed to the brim with Bears fans. I suppose that goes with having a good team, though.
Yeah, exactly. Fair weather. But no, the place was jammed. We actually got the last open table without a reservation. That was fun, and we had a couple people come out, Zach Suter and Jen Hoffman, so that was fun.
We did have to set up the phone again for the Red Zone channel to watch the Browns and the Ravens close out the season, too.
Yeah, they didn't want to show many of the games besides the Bears games except on that little four TV display, but we had a great time. And then the next night, New Year's Eve, we were out at the Four Shadows, a.k.a. The Shadow. We had a great time. They had a $40 drink special. I took full advantage of that.
I'm sure you did. No, it was a good time. And I think we drummed up a couple of extra listeners on Monday night, too.
I agree. I think we did. We talked to some people. We chatted it up. We ended up going over to somebody's house. Prime took us over to somebody's house. We played this euchre game. And some infamous person flipping cards at people's faces, you know, finally got taken down. And a monster comeback in that one, didn't
it? Yeah, it was definitely a 100-1 shot, though. I'll give you that one. I wish I would have wagered on it.
You almost did. You almost got me to go plus 400 at one time. But that was a good time. Great New Year's Eve bash. I was hurting on New Year's Day and didn't quite catch the bowl games like you did, but I know there was a lot of good action out there.
Yeah, Tuesday afternoon was probably one of the most exciting days of bowl season, at least for me. A lot of those games went down to the wire in terms of the point spread, which was very entertaining. But exactly. I'm sure we'll get to that later here on the pod.
Absolutely. All right, let's go over the outline. We've got the legislative updates. We've got a couple big updates today, which are exciting. We'll go through our head-to-head from last week. Brief takeaways in the NFL, not too lengthy. We'll jump into the college bowl bets that you're talking about, and bowl, you know, New Year's Six and such. Let's review the big championship game coming up on Monday. That's going to be a big game. Great to the best teams, of course. Jump back into the NFL. We'll go over the NFL Wegs playoff index, as well as key injuries, the spots we like in there. And then we'll jump into college hoops and to finish it out with our head-to-head. You got anything else on there?
No, I think that's it. Another big sports week, so let's jump right to it.
Absolutely. So the first legislative update is in your home state. Looks like Indiana is going to get some sports gambling.
Yeah, I got a text from a family member the other night that the Indy Star posted an article on Monday that sports betting looks like it's going to be legalized during the upcoming legislative session in Indiana.
Awesome.
And they're still trying to iron out the details, but Senator John Ford from Indianapolis is introducing a bill which most of the aspects will be geared towards allowing wagering on mobile devices. Mm. And another important point, which I picked out of there, was keeping the taxes very low.
Okay.
He stressed the importance of both of these issues in keeping the bettors in the state's legal markets and away from the illegal markets, the offshores, have you, which is going to help generate more revenue for the state.
I gotcha. Okay. So, yeah, so there's probably a lot of people doing offshore now, and they're just trying to swing the balance into legal betting.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that allowing bettors the option to do mobile gaming and then also keeping the taxes and the fees and the VIG all very low is going to help these states across the U.S. generate more revenue and allow more of that money to flow into their coffers as opposed to going to Antigua.
Thank you, Antigua. You're keeping us alive in Illinois, but That's great. That's awesome. I mean, hopefully Illinois will follow suit soon, and other states, the big revenue states like Illinois and New York, which I've heard speculated that they could have just actually bigger handles than Vegas at some point.
Oh, I imagine populations. That's probably true, especially on the East Coast. You know how big sports betting is in Philadelphia and New York and those areas.
Exactly. The other update we have is pretty awesome, actually. The NFL has stayed away from gambling, you know, way away from gambling as much as they can, but it looks like today they have a new sponsor in Caesars Entertainment.
Yeah, I was, you know, a few podcasts ago, we were asking when Caesars was going to jump into the mix, and they made their splash today by partnering with the NFL, the first ever official casino sponsor of the NFL.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that this opens the door. I mean, you kind of probably figured it out once they allowed the Raiders to go to Vegas. Maybe there's they're open to that. So this is all kind of a confluence of factors. So we're going to see the league. Hey, they're in bed with Caesars. That's awesome. That's good for everybody for betting.
Yeah, and don't forget the NFL draft is going to be in Las Vegas, too, in 2020.
That's right, in 2 years, just in time for the Raiders to show up at that new stadium.
Yeah, probably a few number one draft picks, too.
Yeah, exactly. They got a few. All right, well, let's look at the recap from last week. The Wegs strike back, finally. We first went Notre Dame was 12.5-point underdogs against Clemson in the semifinal matchup, total being 56.5. Well, Clemson just kind of took them to the house there. It was close early. The game was tight. And then they closed. Clemson closed the half with a couple scores to kind of get some nice distance and only had to score one touchdown in the second half and closed them out 30-3.
Yeah, my biggest takeaways were that Clemson defensive front, even without Dexter Lawrence, they were still dominant, which is one thing we touched on last week. And then also Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback, really looked poised for a freshman in that huge game. Threw a couple of big-time passes at the end of the first half that stretched the lead out, and by halftime, Notre Dame was pretty much out of it.
Yeah. It's too bad for Notre Dame, but they got to the big game, at least for the second semifinal game. But we knew all season that Clemson was probably the best second-best team, so we're going to see the two best teams playing them against Alabama. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait for that matchup on Monday night.
Yeah, it should be a great one. The other game was LSU was 7.5-point favorites against the UCF Darlings. They already put up the banner, I think, but and they were the total's 55 in that one. Unfortunately, the Golden Knights could not get it done against LSU. They were up early 14-3, as we've noted. Joe Burrow got knocked down to the ground pretty hard. He looked like he might have been knocked out of the game when they got a pick six on him to make it 14-3, but Tigers just rolled back and really were in control of this game, and UCF almost got a backdoor cover. They lost by 8 points in that one.
Yeah, I was sitting around watching this game, and I mentioned to you earlier, was live betting. UCF went up 14-3, and I sure hope that the officials didn't start printing the championship banners again, because LSU was playing that game hard. You could tell that they have been hearing the talk all week and probably all year about UCF and them beating Auburn last year, and they really fought for the SEC on Tuesday. Come back and win that game and get the cover just barely.
That's right. Ed Orgeron did it. He did what he needed to do. And I think actually when UCF was taunting Burrows on the ground, that probably fired up LSU a little more.
Oh yeah. And there was so many ejections in that game.
Yeah.
I was live betting the total too, because I think LSU was down two or three defensive backs going into the game and they got three ejections in the first half.
Wow.
So at one point I think they had to send in some wide receivers to play defense. It was crazy.
Well, they're athletes. They made it happen. So Jacksonville was at Houston. They were getting 7 points. The total was 40. You were behind the Jags on this one, and what happened?
Well, Blake Bortles did full-on Blake Bortles, and they put up 3 points against that Houston team.
Yep.
The defense played pretty well. They held Houston down only a couple of scores, but Jacksonville just couldn't do anything on offense, and they got beaten pretty handily.
Yeah, as I was talking about last week on the pod, I just didn't trust Jacksonville scoring that much against Houston or anybody. They did it against Miami, but the 3 points, it kind of worked out the way I figured, and Houston got the win and kept their division title intact. The last game was Baltimore was playing Cleveland. They were hosting Cleveland. They were 5.5-point favorites. The total was 40.5. This was actually a really exciting game. It came down to the wire. We were watching this at Flagship. Cleveland was down pretty handily early. But Baker Mayfield was making it happen late. He was pushing it, and they actually had a chance to win the game and knock Baltimore out of the playoffs as the Steelers did barely advance against the Bengals. And unfortunately, I don't know why they actually went for that 4th and 10 or 4th mm-hmm. and 9 or whatever it was at the end of the game. I guess they were going for the win instead of trying to go for a 56-yard field goal. But they came up short, but they did get the cover for me in this game.
Yeah, the biggest takeaway that I had was just how well Cleveland was able to move the ball against the Baltimore defense there, mm-hmm. especially in the second half. And I think that they probably have laid down a blueprint that the Chargers may be able to learn from going into the wild card weekend.
That's right. Spread that ball around, quick hits, and maybe see what happens. I think also Baltimore was kind of clenching because, you know, last year they almost the exact same thing happened, and then the Bengals scored late to knock them out of the playoffs. So it was a little deja vu for them. Well, let's just roll into the takeaways for the NFL from Week 17. We saw a lot of games. Looks like the pod didn't do as well as we've done in the past. We went 4-3. The late touchdown in the Tennessee Colts game kind of pushed the game over the total and busted the 44.5. We were looking at that as being an under game, right?
Yeah, we had the under. Also had the Colts, though. So, mm-hmm. And 4-3 is still a winning week.
Yep.
There were some crazy finishes, though, and some really unexpected performances. I think mm-hmm. you and I talked about the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
No one really expected Matt Nagy to actually go out and try to win that game.
He did.
On Sunday, and it was pretty clear that he chose to play the Eagles over the Vikings.
They did. It was kind of weird. We were talking about that at the bar. I mean, you and I both think the Eagles are a hot team. You don't really want to play them right now, the defending champs. They kind of destroyed Washington, as kind of expected. And then they had the chance. They looked at the scoreboard. They saw the Rams were up like, what was it, 21-0 or 20 mm-hmm. whatever, 21-3 in their game. So there was no way the Bears were going to get that 2 seed. They decided to keep rolling and knocking Minnesota out, which was an interesting strategy. But see how it works out.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Exactly.
The other game that I wanted to talk about was the Dallas Cowboys, seemingly with playoff position locked up, definitely playoff position locked up.
That's right.
And the Clapper chose to send Dak Prescott out there, and they played like it was the damn Super Bowl.
They did. They played really hard, and they were making plays, and Dak threw for almost 400 yards. He was fist pumping. Maybe the Clapper didn't understand the implications of the game.
That's probable.
They did sit Zeke Elliott in the game, but I mean, in the end, yeah, it really didn't get him anywhere. And I know Leighton Vander Esch, we'll talk about it later, he got a little dinged up. He's going to be fine. But when he went down, I was like, boy, that was a dumb idea.
Yeah. It looks like he's going to be back here for wild card weekend. But definitely an interesting outcome. Other than that, it was pretty much as expected. The Rams trounced the Niners. The Chargers played well in their win over Denver. And Kansas City looked really good in dispatching the Oakland Raiders.
As we said, Chucky was actually already on vacation. He was going down to the Senior Bowl already. He was done. All right, well, let's go into the college football now. Obviously, you had a great day on Tuesday. I got to be honest with you, Steve. I was glad I didn't bet much besides the UCF game. I didn't get my money line bet there. I did get it in and lost it. But I was going to be on the wrong side of that Iowa-Mississippi State game, and then for New Year's Eve, Northwestern-Utah.
Yeah. I did have a losing night on Monday with the Utah Utes.
Yep.
Was feeling really good at halftime. They're up 23 to 3. And then Northwestern just stormed back in the second half and scored 4 unanswered touchdowns. And thankfully, we were at the bar by that point, so I could start drinking.
Exactly. I think, didn't they know that there were 6 turnovers in the second half for Utah?
Yeah.
That's like a first time ever or something. I mean, they just kept getting the ball. Every time I looked up, Northwestern was scoring, and I didn't understand it. I was like, what happened to this Utah defense? Well, they were getting the ball at the 10-15-yard line every time.
Yeah, it's hard to handicap a side like that when they're turning the ball over. I mean, those are really just kind of random propositions mm-hmm. for the most part. So move on from that one. Another game I wanted to mention was the Michigan State and Oregon
mm-hmm.
Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
We did close winners with Michigan State plus 2.5.
That's right.
So, but they did lose the game 7-6.
God, it was brutal. They were up 6-0 going into the fourth quarter. It was just a slugfest, like you had said, on the handicap. But that's a heartbreaker to lose 7-6 like that.
Yeah, tough one for the Big Ten. But thankfully, we did bounce back with the Iowa victory mm-hmm. on Tuesday morning, 27-22 over a tough Mississippi State team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned LSU and UCF. Right. I was sitting around live betting on the LSU Tigers, knowing that they would come back, and thankfully they pulled that one out for me.
And then depending on when you got that Ohio State-Washington game, a lot of people came out losers on that one, unless you got the lower number, because they basically had a little backdoor cover, and they kind of played up-tempo for a while. But I heard that Peterson, at the end of the game, could have picked up the tempo even more to maybe even give it a chance to win the game, but they kind of was going a little slow, and then they ended up losing 28-23.
Yeah, I was watching those line moves all month and all week, and it was just absolutely crazy. It opened at 4.5, and then Urban Meyer announces his retirement.
Right.
And projected, the spread goes out to 5.5, and even touched 7 at one point on Tuesday morning. Mm. At one point, I was thinking, I'm going to buy back a little bit just to hedge my bet on Ohio State. So I picked up a little bit on Washington plus 7. Mm-hmm. And then a couple hours before kickoff, that line just nosedived down and hit 4 at one point at Bet Online.
What do you think that's about? That's just public money, or the sharps are?
Well, I mean, it's quite evident to me that it was the sharps that were all over Washington, and they were taking the 7s, the 6.5s, the 6s,
it's too much
down to 5.5, and ultimately they were the right side when Washington stormed back in the second half. They cut it to 5, and we're going for 2. And through an interception, Ohio State DB is running it back and probably has a good chance to score if he goes outside. And I think he might have even been tackled by his own guy, which would have made it 7. And it was just a wild finish to the game. Ultimately, Washington covered most of the bets, then I also won with Ohio State minus 4.
Okay. Well, look at this guy. Double dip.
It was pretty awesome.
Good job. Well, that's great. Well, let's roll right into the national championship. I mean, we think that this is going to be probably the best game of the year. I mean, maybe there's other games out there that have happened during the year, but this one should be the two best teams. A lot of NFL talent out there. Clemson is a 6-point underdog against Alabama. The total is 59.5. What say you on this one, Action?
Well, I really like Clemson in this spot. I've already bet them at plus 6. And I've also sprinkled a little bit of cash on the money line, too. Right now, it's sitting at plus 184. And I think that like I mentioned earlier, the biggest takeaway that I had from the semifinal game was the way that defensive line played.
Right.
And Alabama has not really faced a line like that this year outside of Mississippi State, possibly.
Could be.
But the Clemson D-line held a pretty good Irish rushing attack to 90 yards on the ground. And I think that they should be able to perform similarly on Monday night and hold down Alabama's rushing attack and really put the ball in the hands of Tua. Now, granted, Tua's pretty damn good.
Yes.
But Trevor Lawrence was impressive to me, too. And I just think that Clemson has their number. Given the extra time to prepare, Dabo Swinney should have a little tricks up his sleeve for that Bama offense.
Yeah, I've been talking about this for a few weeks. I think Clemson is the team to beat here now. I think that they have a balanced attack, which is essential to beating Alabama. ATN is a great running back, and Lawrence has been making the throws. And more importantly, I'm not sure if Alabama's balanced. Mm-hmm. I think they've been such a great passing team with Tua that they're not really committed to the run as much. And with the Clemson defensive line, I kind of see him getting beat up a little bit in this game. So I also have bet the money line here. I got plus 175, so I didn't get as much value. 178, I think. So I definitely like Clemson in this side. Hopefully it'll be a great game, and we'll see what happens. But this is the fourth time these teams have played in the playoff in the last 4 years, so we know that these guys can recruit. And I believe Dabo pulls guys from Alabama right in their backyard, too. So
yeah, the star freshman wide receiver is an Alabama kid.
He's supposed to be incredible. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And he can't go to the NFL yet, but he'll play on Sunday someday.
I also have some notes on the total in this game, but I think we may be talking about that a little bit later. So
absolutely,
I'll
in our head-to-head. Well, let's look into the NFL. We've got the NFL wildcard weekend. This is, to me, one of the more fun weekends. I think the next 2 weeks are kind of the best games to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got lots of, first of all, you've got many games, 4 games apiece, but also just people are just playing it all on the line. You don't kind of see that level in the NFL during the season.
And Saturday night action.
Saturday night action. You can't beat that. That's right. At the Wags game night, there'll be Saturday night game action. So one of the things I did, I redid my playoff index or my NFL index to do the playoffs. Similar result on the top, at the Bears being the top team. But a couple of things with this, I'll run through them real quick, that I have the Bears at the top. And then there's kind of a two-way tie between the Patriots, which was shocking to me, and the Rams, then the Saints, Chiefs at 5, Ravens at 6. Then you've got a tie at 7 with the Texans and the Colts, then the Chargers, Seahawks, Cowboys, then Eagles. I've done it on data from the last, since 2009. This is one of the tightest packed rankings I've ever seen. Save the Eagles that are way out there at 10.3 on the average. The difference between the Bears at 4.8 and, say, the Seahawks at 7.2, I mean, that is just major compression. You usually see one or two teams kind of stand above, like be a 2 ranking or 3 ranking, and then kind of a quagmire at that 5 and 6. In this case, it just tells me that this is wide open. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes to our point that we made a few weeks ago when we talked about Super Bowl futures, mm-hmm. that there's a lot of parity in the league this year, and almost any one of these teams could probably pull through and win the Super Bowl outside of the Eagles in all likelihood.
Exactly.
But Nick Foles does have that magic.
He's fallen all over the place. So rolling into the injuries, nice call. Nick Foles was injured in the last game. He injured his ribs. He left the game, didn't he?
Yeah, left the game for a few plays, and Nate Sudfeld came in and performed pretty well, actually.
He did.
But I did read a few places that Nick Foles looks like he's going to play this weekend.
He's going to play. He gets rid of the ball quickly. That'll definitely be something to factor in for our analysis. That's in our head-to-head. Todd Gurley, supposed to be 100% when he comes back with his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Although C.J. Anderson has been tearing it up in his stead. I mean, he's had over 300 yards rushing in 2 games.
That's true.
Melvin Gordon's supposed to be back to 100% as well with his knee. He's been out for many weeks, and then I don't know if he played last week at all, but we'll see. He's a key element to that game.
Yeah, I also heard that he may have picked up a little bit of an ankle sprain too.
Oh boy.
More of a mild sprain, but it's in the same side as that MCL injury that he had in the knee, so that's certainly not going to be helpful. And the Chargers really need a healthy Melvin Gordon if they want to win at Baltimore.
I agree. You got to run the ball. You can't just give it up and do the pass. We mentioned Leighton Vander Esch. He had a shin injury for the Cowboys. He will play. He'll be okay, so that's good. And then your guys, Ryan Kelly for the Colts, he practiced.
Yeah, practiced in full on Wednesday, and that's huge for the Indianapolis Colts. The numbers that they have rushing the ball with him in the lineup versus out are completely different. So if he plays, that's a huge boost to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and I think they got to run the ball in that game, even though Houston's defense is really good. The back end's not that great, but you got to wear down that defensive line so you can make those big plays down the field. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what spots do you like this week in Wild Card Weekend for NFL?
Well, I think we could probably start in chronological order.
Okay.
And talk about the opener on Saturday, mm-hmm. between the Colts and the Texans.
Great game.
The line has been bouncing around all week here, and I think it's down to Indianapolis +1 or 1.5 at most spots.
Mm-hmm.
Even saw a pick'em that popped up. But I like the Colts in this game to win it outright, and I probably will take the points just as a little boost. But I think that if you're looking to bet this game, a money line bet is not a bad idea either.
Mm-hmm.
I think their defense is really going to be a difference maker, as well as that running game. Like we had talked about, if Ryan Kelly plays, they should be able to have some success running the ball against the Texans. However, though, when you look at the Texans' D, it's their secondary, mm-hmm. which really is the soft spot.
Right.
And T.Y. Hilton has absolutely owned this team in his career.
Mm-hmm.
In 7 games in Houston, he's averaged 133 receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's going to have some success again this weekend, along with Marlon Mack in that running game.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I think that the Colts are, well, we talked about this before the pod. The Texans got their first win because, you know, Reich went for fourth down in his own territory in overtime and kind of gave the Texans the opportunity to kick that field goal. So the Colts really kind of had them beat twice, really. I mean, they maybe a tie, I guess, the first time. So they definitely have their number. I agree with the Hilton thing. He's always lit this team up. They never can guard this guy for some reason. I don't know why. And then the added element of the run game, I think that makes them the differentiator. I do think that Watson could, being he's a gamer, he's going to make some plays in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting, but the line tells you the story. If it's down to one or a pick'em, I mean, you got to go with the Colts here. I agree with you. So it should be a great game. It's definitely going to be something I want to watch, but I'm on you on that one too.
Yeah, I also do like the over a little bit. Right now, the number has kind of been bouncing around between 48 and 49.
Okay.
I think that if you can find something that's under that 48.5 point, it's probably a good bet to play the over.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck has been really playing well, and it's clear that he is a different quarterback than he was when they played in the first meeting in Indianapolis.
Right.
The Colts started out 1-5 and then won 9 out of the last 10 to make the playoffs. And combine that with T.Y. Hilton's success and Marlon Mack. And obviously, you talked about Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. And the best player on the field on Saturday is going to be DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, he's good.
So I like some points in this game. And I think that there's some value if you can find anything under 49.
Okay. Yeah, the next game is Ridgeway's favorite, the Seahawks. The Seahawks are going to the Cowboys. At the moment, the Seahawks are one-point underdogs at Dallas, and the total's 43. Personally, I love the Seahawks in this spot. They're the better team to me on paper. They played early in the year in Seattle, and Seattle did kind of beat up the Cowboys in that game. It'll be different in Dallas. Dallas will play better, but when push comes to shove, when Dallas is a favorite, they're terrible. The Clapper's not good in a favorite role, and I personally don't trust Dak Prescott in a big spot. He played good 2 years ago in the playoff game when they made the comeback against Green Bay, but I've seen him miss so many throws of late, and he's either going to make mistakes or he's just not going to hit the guys he needs to. And to me, I really trust Russell Wilson in this spot. If the game's on the line, there's no one better in the fourth quarter, and between their running game, which I think you have to do to beat Dallas, and also Wilson, who can run and also, you know, make those big plays, I love the Seahawks in this game. And obviously 1 point's not going to give you a big money line bet, but definitely a money line if the spread changes.
Yeah, I think it's evident which side the sharps are on so far. It opened up at Seattle +2.5, and it's been bet down to +1 at most of the shops as of this afternoon. So I think you're onto something there. I did a little research too myself, and the one thing I will point out is Seattle's road record this year has been a little bit subpar. Okay. They don't really have any big wins on the road. They won at Oakland, Carolina, and Detroit is another game that I picked out. So, and Dallas has actually been pretty good at home this year too.
They have.
Usually that's not the case. They're better on the road, but for some reason this year, Dak and the boys have been better at home. Chris Carson, the Seahawks running back, has been awesome this year. 600-yard running games. And I think that this Seahawks rushing offense should probably have some success. Although the Cowboys do have a fifth-ranked rushing defense, allowing only 95 yards per game. The other thing I was going to point out is Amari Cooper's difference-making has helped Dak out quite a bit. In the games since Amari Cooper joined the team, Dak's completion percentage has risen to 71.3. Wow. Before that, it was only 62. And his passing yards per game has risen up to 274 versus 202 before that. So I think it's going to be an interesting game, a battle, certainly probably the best matchup of wildcard weekend. I'm likely going to stay away myself, but definitely looking forward to watching.
Okay, great. It should be a great game, another one. We'll hold off for the Chargers, Ravens, and the Eagles, Bears in the head-to-head.
Yeah.
There's a lot of notes there. Okay, so let's transition to the college hoops discussion. There were a couple big games. Kentucky got a big win on the road at Louisville, 71-58, and they're definitely playing better since the beginning of the season. Pac-12 is not looking very good. They keep having their woes, don't they?
Yeah, UCLA takes the cake after losing back-to-back home games to Belmont and Liberty over the last week. Steve Alford was fired on Monday.
That's right. He took it. Got out of there. He didn't need to be around anymore, apparently. But, you know, to me, the Pac-12 is just one of those conferences. They just don't seem to stack up, you know, in really any of the sports, to be honest with you.
Yeah, football, too.
Terrible in the bowl season. So somebody's got to take control out there and make things happen. They got a lot of talent in California. So
as a conference, they're 92-58 against their Division I non-conference slate, which is really bad compared to the others. And the average KenPom rating is 96.
Wow. And that includes the Arizona State losing to Princeton, right?
Yeah.
At home.
Uh-huh.
After knocking off Kansas, which makes no sense.
I mean, it's pretty clear that this team is probably going to be a one-bid NCAA league. Whoever wins that tournament is going to make it. I don't expect any other teams to get in outside of that.
Wow, that's bad. I'll just quickly review some of my overrated, underrated, and you can go over your power index. The overrated teams at this moment, I have Ohio State, Marquette. By the way, Marquette got destroyed by St. John's the other night. Buffalo, again. Houston and Iowa. Houston's still undefeated, but they're showing up as overrated to me.
Agreed.
Underrated Florida. Florida's playing much better, as I noted. Iowa State, Purdue. I know I'm still on your Boilers. Villanova and TCU. So how does that match up with some of your power rated index guys?
Well, I just saw a score pop up and Purdue is beating Iowa at halftime by 17.
Oh, so, yes.
Spot on.
Yes. The metrics are working.
Outside of that, though, I mean, I think I agree with most of your points here. Purdue, Florida, a little bit underrated. Mm-hmm. Iowa State played really well the other night. And Villanova has been picking up play lately, too.
They have. They played a tough one against DePaul and won last night. But I think that they're just getting their system down. And, you know, great coaching. Jay Wright's the best.
Yep, he sure is. As far as my ratings go, again, not a lot changed. Duke still at number one, clearly above the rest of the field. Mm-hmm. North Carolina comes in at two. Gonzaga, three. Michigan State, number four. Mm-hmm. Virginia, five. Followed by Texas Tech, Kansas, and Michigan dropped down to number eight, which is quite a bit of a fall compared to where they are in the AP poll, ranked number two, according to the Associated Press.
That's right.
Virginia Tech is nine, and North Carolina State rounds out the top 10.
You're on those the Wolfpack, huh?
Yeah, I do like that Wolfpack team. They have a huge game tonight in Miami, though, which I expect they might struggle with a little bit.
Okay, and you had two teams kind of fall out, Tennessee and Nevada.
Yeah, Tennessee, ranked third in the AP poll, comes in at my rankings at number 13. And Nevada, their strength of schedule, probably not doing them any favors, right, are down to 14 in my index.
That's right. They did win last night big over Utah State, but that didn't do it. So what spots are you looking at this week in college hoops?
Well, you and I have kind of compiled a list of some great games this weekend, starting with Saturday afternoon. There mm-hmm. is just a ton of great games. I had a hard time picking them all.
That's right.
Picking a few. The first one I eyed is Kansas State going on the road to Texas Tech, mm-hmm. and projecting the spread at Kansas State plus 10.
Okay.
But the angle I like even better is the total here. I'm projecting it'll open up about 120, mm-hmm. which is supremely low.
Yeah, very
but
low.
For good reason. They play at very slow paces, 259 and 234, respectively. But they have the number two and number one adjusted defenses. Hmm. And obviously, this is going to be a slugfest. Anything near 120, I'm going to be going under.
I gotcha. Yeah, I actually like the Texas Tech side, too, just because maybe Kansas State will bounce back. They kind of got destroyed against Texas last night. Mm-hmm. And it was a second-half barrage that took them down. And Texas doesn't score the ball. Texas has good defense, too. So this should be a great matchup. The Big 12 is going to be like this all year long. There's so many good teams out there. So I'm excited to check that one out. But, yeah, I agree with you. These teams are – it's going to be a throwback game back to the 50s or something.
Yeah, no kidding. It might be first to 50 wins.
The next game is Kansas is going to Iowa State, also in the Big 12. Kansas is currently, we're projecting, as a one-point underdog at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. And the total is projected 149. We know Azubuike is back, and he played some minutes against Oklahoma. You see there's a big difference with him in the lineup?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the game last night, and Azubuike looked okay. Still rounding into shape, obviously, but he mm-hmm. ended the game with 9 points and 8 rebounds. And I think that Kansas's metrics are a little bit deflated because Azubuike's been out of the lineup.
That's right.
Their rebounding and two-point defense numbers are a bit lower than what would be expected out of this team. And because of all that, I think that they're a little bit underrated, and you're getting some value here taking Kansas as an underdog at Iowa State.
I agree. Okay. I like that side. And to me, I mean, this is going to be a matchup that they're going to, you know, play twice. And Kansas usually gets rolling late, but if they can get this big win, that's really going to help them down the mm-hmm. stretch. The next game, we're just quick note, Florida State is at Virginia. Virginia is an 8-point favorite. The total is 130. You've noted that the standard, you know, UVA under, mm-hmm. but I had to note something. When you look at the KenPom ratings, you know, UVA is actually ninth in offensive efficiency. This team is really going to be a title contender this year. If they can score the ball the way that they've been doing it in the non-conference, in the ACC, I mean, this team's going to be right there. They should be a number one seed down the stretch. You know, you love their defense, but scoring was always the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, they put up 100 points the other night.
They did.
Kyle Guy had 30 of them himself. So something to keep an eye on, without a doubt, that offense. But playing against Florida State at home, I'm probably going to be going under again. They just play that smothering defense, and they really are able to dictate the pace a little bit more when they're playing in their home gym.
That's correct. Another game of note, Butler is playing against Creighton. Creighton is a 2-point favorite. To me, I like Butler generally, although I lost the bet to you a couple weeks ago. But Butler seems to be kind of hitting the skids. They lost against, I think it was Florida first, mm-hmm. and now they've got hammered against Georgetown at home. So I'd be on the Creighton side in this one. Now, Creighton honestly doesn't play any defense, but they're 13th in offensive efficiency, so I think that that's going to be a let them take down those Bulldogs.
Yeah, and Coach Greg McDermott is really a plus there, too. I think that he's a much better coach than Butler has, and I agree with you. I think Creighton's the right side there.
All right, we're going to skip the next one. We'll do that in the head-to-head. The last game we'll talk about is North Carolina at North Carolina State. State is actually a one-point favorite in this one. Oh, that's for next week. I'm sorry.
It's next Tuesday, but we can talk about it now.
Yeah, I guess we might as well talk about it. So, yeah, that's next Tuesday. It's coming out. That's an in-state rivalry, Tobacco Road. You like NC State quite a bit in your index.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game, and I think this is the one team in the ACC that can match North Carolina's rebounding prowess. Mm-hmm. NC State is ranked 7th in offensive rebounding. And I think that they're going to be a little bit extra motivated here to play against the big brother and their in-state rival, the Tar Heels. I also noted that they're going to have a huge advantage in the three-point shooting, where they're 7th ranked in three-point field goal percentage, and mm-hmm. UNC has a pretty poor three-point shooting defense. Mm. So I like NC State a lot, and if they lose in Miami tonight, which I expect they will, I think they're going to be even more motivated, and I like them even more.
NC State is one of those teams, you know, they made the coaching change before last year. Kevin Keats went there. He's a Pitino guy, came out of the Pitino kind of family, and he knows how to coach. This guy is a really good coach. I think he took UNC Wilmington to the tournament a couple times, and I really like the hire. He's turning this team around. He's making this team competitive. And, you know, in those Tobacco Road teams, NC State was kind of down for so many years. I'd love to see the Wolfpack get back to the point where they're trading blows with North Carolina and Duke every year.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, well, let's go right into the head-to-head. We've got a couple NFL games here to talk about, and the national championship, too. So the first game let's talk about is, I guess we'll do an order. The Chargers are going to play Baltimore, and the Chargers are 3-point underdogs at Baltimore. The total is 42. What say you on this one, Action?
Well, I really like the Chargers in this game. They're getting 3 points, and I'm going to be on that side. I think that LA is probably going to be obviously looking for revenge in this game, mm-hmm. having lost just 2 weeks ago at right. home to the Baltimore Ravens. And I think the biggest angle for me here is that the Ravens offense, even though they're running the ball at astounding numbers, I think I had written here, still averaging about 232 yards on the ground over the last three games. Yep. The Chargers are going to have, having seen them once, I mm-hmm. think they're going to be much more well prepared to stop them this time around. Lamar Jackson kind of runs this gimmicky offense. And if you really go back into the box score in that game, they actually did a pretty good job of shutting down the Ravens run game. Mm-hmm. It was really Lamar Jackson and his passing that won that game and put up the points
right.
on Saturday night. So I think that the Chargers will be ready to bounce back in this game. And I think that they are going to have a little bit more success running the ball. Although the Ravens do have a legit run defense.
They
will also be able to have some success in the passing game too. If you remember, Keenan Allen was really hurt in that first game, and I think that he's going to be a little bit more healthy this time around, and Phillip Rivers is obviously has the experience. So I'm going to be betting on the Chargers here plus 3.
Okay. Hunter Henry might also play.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that.
Excellent.
So to me, yeah, I, it was kind of a stay-away game, to be honest with you, and we want to do it for the head-to-head because it's a good game. Baltimore has the number one defense, and they were able to shut down that offense without Melvin Gordon and really an injured Keenan Allen. I just think that the way that Baltimore plays, it's going to shorten the game enough to make Rivers basically take chances, and that's what he did in the last game, and he turned the ball over twice. So mm-hmm. to me, it's a similar script. I think if the Chargers don't get out early in this game, which is what they have to do to win, then Baltimore's just going to squeeze them, you know, like an anaconda and just kind of basically strangulate this team and then make them chuck and make some bad plays. I can definitely see the Chargers winning the game. I love the Chargers. You do. You did them before the season. I love Rivers and his fire, but I just can't see them beating them in this game. 3 points is obviously a possibility of a push, but I do think Baltimore is going to win this game, and hopefully by more than three.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention before we move on to your Bears is I do also like the first half under in this one. I think the full game total is really tight, 41.5, but the first half under, I've seen a couple of 20.5s out there, and I think that they're both going to start out a little bit slow. It is another 1 p.m. kickoff on the East Coast, and I think that's a good value there at 20.5, and I don't expect it to stick around until game time either.
Yeah, it'll probably shoot up, right? Okay, so the next game, we'll go over the Bears-Eagles. Eagles are basically at the Bears. They are six-point underdogs. The total is only 41. For me, you know, I'm going to be on the Bears. They're number one on my index. I've been consistent with them of late. You know, it's a tough spot. They haven't been in the playoffs in so many years. The Eagles are the champs, but and the Eagles are red hot. But I got to stick by the numbers. I think the Bears can do anything against this team. I think they're going to throw the ball against it with that secondary. I think they're going to run it down their throat as well. And I know that Foles has been playing great, but I just see that this defense is ready to make this move. And at Soldier Field, it's a different defense. So I actually kind of feel like this could even be a blowout. Not like a 5 touchdowns or something, but more like a, you know, like a 17-3 kind of game. Because I think that the Bears are going to take control. Obviously, the Eagles can make plays. You got Alshon Jeffrey. You know, he's going to pretend like it's a revenge game. But I just really feel the Bears are going to take this one and by more than the 6 points.
Well, are you willing to give me more points?
No, I am not.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take the Eagles plus 6. I think I told you I did bet them already. And I just think that this is going to be a really low-scoring game. And I like the value getting almost a full touchdown here. Nick Foles has been a man on fire.
He has been.
And I expect that even though he's a little banged up, he, like you mentioned, is going to get the ball out quick, and hopefully they'll be able to scheme out that Khalil Mack and Bears pass rush. And I think that Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz are both going to be heavily used in this game. And I like the Eagles to at least cover this number. I don't expect that they'll win, but I certainly think it's possible. And we've seen Foles do this before. He's got some magic.
He does. He's doing something right. I tell you, he's going to deal with the devil or something. But we'll see. It should be a great game. That'll be the late game on Sunday, the 3:30 game. So it'll be fun. The next game we'll review, let's do the... Yeah, well, I guess it's fine. We'll do the Indiana at Michigan. That's a college basketball game. That's actually Sunday.
Saturday. Oh, Sunday. You're right.
So it's also a Sunday. Michigan are 9-point favorites at home, and the total is 133. What do you see for your Hoosiers in this one?
Well, I'm going to be taking the Indiana Hoosiers plus 9. I think we mentioned on the last podcast that I've been watching Michigan play a few games recently, and they have failed to cover in several of their last few games, and it's been primarily due to their offensive struggles. They're not shooting the ball as well. They seem to be a little bit disjointed on offense, and this Indiana has a top 20 defense, and I think that they should be able to hold down that Michigan offense a little bit. And Romeo Langford is a superstar, so I do expect that Charles Matthews will be guarding him, which will make life difficult. But I think that Indiana should be able to keep this thing close.
Okay. It's a good handicap. I think the total at 133 tells you it's going to be a close game, or at least a low-scoring game. And I think that Michigan, to me, they've been struggling, but they're getting back home. I think that this is a chance for them to kind of make a statement in the conference. It's early in the season, but... And like you said, you know, Indiana's a top 20 defense, but Michigan's at the fourth rated defense, right? So they're going to squeeze Indiana quite a bit. And if they can get that offense going just enough, they have a better rated offense still at 24th versus 36th. I think that they're going to be able to cover this number. 9 is a pretty big number. We had to pick a game here. But I do like the Wolverines, and I think they're going to make a statement on Sunday.
Also, just a quick add, I do like the under in this game too, projecting the total at 133, and that's primarily due to both defenses and the Wolverines' pace, ranked 333rd in KenPom in their possessions per game.
How many teams are on that?
350 Division
okay,
teams.
almost the lowest.
So almost at the bottom.
Interesting.
I think Virginia is last, actually.
Are they?
Uh-huh.
Wow, interesting. How they scored 100 points, that was a different game, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one is Clemson versus Alabama. That'll be Monday night. That's the national title game. We're both on Clemson on the side, but the total is 59.5. This is a really interesting total. It's right around that, you know, it's not too high, not too low. I'm going to go with the under in this one. I think that both offenses are stellar. However, I think the defenses will come to play in this national championship game, and it's going to be a little bit tougher for both these teams to operate the way they have it, especially in the semifinal round. And I like the game under at 59.5, maybe be like a 57-point game or something like that.
Yeah, it could happen. I really like the over in this game. I was watching the semifinals on Saturday night, and that Alabama defense really looked gassed in the second half.
They did.
I definitely noticed Oklahoma was able to move the ball at will against them. And I understand it was super hot there too, so I think that probably took a little bit out of them. Granted, the game is 9 days away after the semifinals, so it may not have a huge effect, but I think that just the culmination of the season, along with the Clemson offense, I mean, Trevor Lawrence looked amazing on Saturday, and I think that the weakness in the Alabama team is definitely that secondary. So I think that Clemson should be able to have some success as well. I definitely will take the over here against you, but another thing that I want to point out is that I'm going to be looking to live bet this over too as the game starts. I expect that it'll probably be slow in the first quarter and second quarter, and maybe even go under the total at halftime, but I'm going to be looking to play the second half over regardless of the number, and I may be putting in some live bets too to go over if I can find anything in the low 50s would be ideal.
Broccoli Bob would be proud of you.
That's right. I won't be laying minus 125, though.
Smart man. Okay, well, good. We got those four spots for the head-to-head. Looks like we got a lot of really playoff-caliber football with the wild card weekend, the championship game, and then obviously all the conference basketball. So it's a great time of year to be a sports fan.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time selecting my televisions on Saturday. I might have to go out and buy a few more screens so I can get all the college basketball and the Indianapolis Colts game on.
Yeah, exactly. Got to check it all out. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. Definitely, we always plug this. You know, like it, like the podcast, rate the podcast. Tell your friends, spread the word. We're entering college basketball. For those of you that were not big football fans, now you're into basketball season, college basketball. We will eventually get to the NBA for our NBA fans very soon. And, you know, it's been exciting. We've got a lot of podcasts under our belt. And make sure you're following us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Well, we'll check you out next week.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.